Well, this is a continuation of our series of Sunday school lessons by engineers. Remember last week we had an engineer visiting, and it's kind of interesting that his wife grew up about a half a mile from where I grew up in the adjoining suburb. She lived in Oak Park, Illinois. We lived in Berwyn, Illinois. And one block over and 1.5 mile down, that's where she lived. And he's from Illinois also, went to University of Illinois as a mechanical engineer. But we did enjoy the Congdons, and we want to remember them in prayer as they continue their work for the Lord. But this lesson, we continue in our series of fruit-bearing for God. And we will be in the book of John, the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, the 18th verse to begin with. So we continue our study of this chapter of John's Gospel concerning the instruction of Jesus to his disciples about fruit bearing as a result of abiding in Christ. That's the connection. You don't bear fruit for God without abiding in Christ. Now, fruit bearing is a wonderful subject. We love to read about it. We love to know that we can bear fruit. We love to eat fruit. We love to see a tree full of fruit, and we rejoice because of it. And God rejoices when he sees his children bear fruit for him. But Jesus, in this passage, brings to their mind what we would call unexpected consequences that will attend fruit bearers. You know, one of the things that we know in this world is that everything has a cost. There's an old saying that says there is no such thing as a free lunch. Now, to the birthday folks with our lunch bunch, there is a free lunch, but in general, no? That's true. You still have to, the boy is right. You still have to pay back in when somebody else's birthday. So it costs you more because now you're paying for how many?
Like
12 of them. And it's a voluntary effort, so some throw in this much, and some throw in this much. Nobody pays attention. Nobody has an accounting of that, but the old adage still says there's no such thing as a free lunch. So therefore, the Lord brings that to the attention of the disciples by telling them of unexpected consequences that will attend fruit bearers. For fruit bearers who are called branches will take on the image of the vine. You know, you're to take on the image of the vine as a branch. So to prepare his disciples for these consequences, Jesus adds a warning to this instruction. And the warning is that once you take on Christ and evidence the fruit of the Spirit and walk as Christ walked, the world will react as it reacted to Christ. That's a warning. Jesus is telling his disciples that the world will never change its stripes. You know, can an animal change its stripes? No, he can't will to change his stripes, and the world can't will to change its stripes, for the world and how it reacts to Christ will always react in the same manner to those who are Christ-like. You think by now, 2,000 years down the pike, the world would learn something. But there's no caveat in this instruction that says, well, eventually the world will change its stripes. When you abide in Christ and you take on the image of Christ, Jesus addresses in John 15, 18 through 19, that which will take place in your life For what took place while he walked the roads of Israel will also take place in those who abide in him. You see? What a warning. Are you sure you want to bear fruit for Christ? Are you sure you want to have this heavy load of warning? Count the cost. You know, I think that it's very rare that someone who trusts Christ for and they're born again, count the cost. Boy, there's a cost. So he begins this warning in John 15, 18, 19. If the world hates you, I don't like those words. I don't like to be hated. I like to be loved. I like to be endeared. I like to be well thought of. But Jesus said, if the world hates you, which kind of assumes that that's going to happen, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Think about that. You're mine. I'm yours. The world hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world. Well, there's a mark of those that abide in Christ. The world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now, in this passage, Jesus is talking to abiders. This whole chapter was about abiding in Christ. He is talking to abiders. He is not talking to the casual Christian. He's not talking to the Christian who comes to church because he thinks that it's right to come to church. His parents came to church. Society says you should do something about that. He's not talking to the casual Christian. He's not talking to the whatever Christian. The Christian who does not take the walk of Christ seriously. You know, I think one of the failures of the modern church is its failure to take the cause of Christ seriously. I mean, you look at what's going on in the church today. It's like a circus. This is Christ. Is this what we're about? Will this bring hatred down their road? You know, David said, oh, I love David. Man after God's own heart. Oh, yes, he was a sinner, but so are we. But when he went to the battle and he saw Goliath and he said, what's going on here? Why isn't somebody taking care of this enemy? And he says, is there not a cause? But you know, I'm afraid the answer from much of Christianity today is, no, there's no cause. Don't be so serious. Live it up. Enjoy yourself. But Jesus is talking to disciples, those who know there is a cause, those who by abiding have become different than the world, for they display the fruit of the Spirit. Abiders, he's talking to abiders, a special group, fruit bearers. They are the ones chosen out of the world and therefore are not like the world. They are those who love not the world, neither the things of the world, and because of this, the world will hate them for it. You conform or we hate. Oh, the world says we don't hate. Oh, the world hates Christians. Special group to hate. Now, they hate the ones that abide. Now, Jesus Christ, we know, is different than the world, and the world hates him because he does not conform to the world. Those of the world operate by their senses. They live for the present and are ruled by the opinions and customs of men. I get so tired of these so-called Christians who all of a sudden are now on the bandwagon of the world. What happened? What happened to those who said marriage is between a man and a woman, but today says, oh, it's not that? What happened? What kind of Christian is that? But disciples are not to live by their senses. Disciples are not to live for the present. Disciples are not to live by the opinions and customs of men. They are to live by faith. Faith in the Word of God. Faith in Christ. Now, the world does not understand that and will hate you for it if you live by faith. The world cannot stand differences that point out its error. You see? The world does not care for those that point out its error. The world loves darkness and cannot countenance light. You know, when we turn this light on and to dark, there's no compromise in darkness and light. The darkness disappears. The light takes over. There's no compromise. There's no getting along with darkness and light. Jesus Christ is sinless. He makes no mistakes, and he never nor will ever fail. The world does not like that. He always speaks truth, for he is truth. He refused to compromise with moral evil, doctrinal error, and hypocrisy. He exposed the corruption of the established religious order. I am to remember that any hatred that comes my way because of my testimony for Christ comes my way not because of me, but because of Christ. The load is on him. He bears the load. He says, cast all your cares upon me. Why? I'm strong. I can bear the load. I'm God. I can hold up all your cares and all your woes. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, we are to remember Christ is perfect in all things, and yet the world hated him. So are we to expect any better treatment by the world that hates light? Don't be surprised, beloved. Don't be surprised. Jesus says, in fact, rejoice. Why? His word is verified. You say, well, Christ told me that. That's nothing new. I know that. If I abide in Christ, the world must hate me. It has no other opinion, for darkness cannot abide light. It has no option. It cannot love me, because if I abide in Christ, I reflect his light, and the world loves darkness and hates light. Therefore, the world must hate me. Who operates this world? The hater of God. And his system is such that those in his system follow his lead and hate God also. But we know as believers that light will ultimately destroy the world system. Faith. We operate by faith. We believe by faith. We know that's going to take place by what? Faith. By our senses? No, by faith. God tells us in his word that this is going to take place. That's how we live by. Light will ultimately destroy the world system, and anything that will destroy the world system, the world will hate. God makes the wrath of men to praise him. You know, what a puny system this is when you think about it. What a puny Satan he is. When you think about the power of God, he takes the wrath of men to praise him. And even the hatred of the world will work for him. The world's hatred works the work of God because it will strengthen the bond between Christ and his child. Who are you going to run to, abiders in Christ, when the world comes with its venom? Who are you going to seek? At whose feet are you going to bow? Christ's. The world's hatred will drive the child to abide in Christ, and the union will be stronger for it because of the hatred of the world. What's the recipe for a pure church? Persecution. Persecution. You know, it's not hard to lose a half of you. I'm not saying this is the case. I don't know what percentage it is. But there's going to be persecution in this church. There is. You can see it coming. Now, who are you going to run to? You're going to run to Christ. So Jesus Christ continues his instruction to his disciples in John 15:20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Oh, how humbling that is. You know, we're to be a humble people, realizing our place. God is king. God is the victor. God is the power. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you if you have kept my saying. See, there's if, there's caveats in there. Like I say, this is not applying to the casual Christian, the whatever Christian, the Christian that just puts a little bit into it. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Jesus Christ spoke similar words in John 13:16. Verily, verily. Oh, those are important words. They should prick your heart and say, Jesus Christ is pointing at me here. I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Now, we all know that our Lord was persecuted. And here in this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ tells his disciples to expect persecution. You know, the world today is happy land. It's happy land. Follow these 5 steps and you'll go to happy land. Everything will be wonderful in your life. Everything will be glorious. You'll have $1 million in the bank and you'll marry the most handsome, beautiful person. Everything will be glorious. That's not what we're told in the scriptures. There's a warning to those abide in Christ. So he tells us the truth. He tells us that this is not an easy way. I'm being persecuted. I will be persecuted. I will be nailed to the cross. You'll also be persecuted. And Paul picked up on this teaching when he told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul didn't sugarcoat the message. Paul didn't say like they say today, well, he was pretty strong on that. This was an allegory. Everything that you don't want to believe in the scriptures is an allegory, you know? I've had people say that they don't believe that Noah was a real person. And then I say, well, Jesus said that Noah was a real person. Well, Jesus didn't know. It was just an allegory. Can you imagine that? In other words, Jesus was a product of his times. And in his times, they spoke of Noah as if he was a real person. But in reality, we know better. Because we're so enlightened after 4,000 years or 5. How arrogant that is to think that way. But Paul didn't sugarcoat what Jesus said. He picked up on this teaching when he told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. See that caveat again? It doesn't say, yea, and all those who live a whatever Christian life shall suffer persecution. No, if you don't want any persecution, go on your way. Live your careless way. But if you'll accept persecution for the Lord, you live godly. As did Peter in 1 Peter 4:12 through 14, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. You commiserate in your misery. You say, oh, why am I being treated like this? Well, Peter says, don't think it strange. The Lord said you're going to be persecuted if you live godly. Don't think it's strange. I've prepared you. Why are you doing this? Why are you living in misery? And he says, rejoice, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. What an honor that is. What a privilege it is to suffer for Christ. I haven't been asked to suffer much. You know, we in America haven't been asked to suffer much. But Peter says, rejoice, because it's a privilege that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with what? Exceeding joy. Oh, Lord, I'm so happy to suffer for you. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, what? Miserable you're to be? No, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. There's a special stamp that God puts on you, a sufferer for me. The martyrs had that special stamp. Oh, I don't know if there's a star in the Lamb's Book of Life for the martyrs, but there's some recognition. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you on their part. He is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. So we are to walk in this truth. This ought to be with us all the time. You never know when persecution is coming. You never know when the authorities will press. You never know when the things that we teach are thought of as hate crimes, hate words. I didn't think that this would ever come about as a boy in the 50s. I never could imagine what is taking place today. How the enemy comes in like a flood. So prepare yourself. The servant is not greater than his Lord, and therefore should not expect to receive any better than his Lord. He is the head, with the members of the body. If the head is injured, do not the members also suffer? Boy, you have a big old migraine headache. What do your hands do? Oh, they go and comfort the head. They feel it. If the head is injured, we suffer. So there's no surprise that Christians suffer persecution. Are we not to have the same enemies as our Lord? Will not the world hate us and persecute us if we have the mind of Christ? Won't the world hate me if I preach and live the doctrine of Christ? Shouldn't the true disciples share the same experiences of his master? Isn't this a mark of a true and loyal disciple, an abiding disciple? They of the world have persecuted our Lord, and those who abide in the Lord, those who are out and out for the Lord, will suffer as he suffered. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. And he's pointing at the disciples, abiding Christians. 2,000 years have passed. Humankind says we're much more civilized. Humankind says we're civil to each other. We know how to relate to each other. But you know, the relationships today in the world are all built upon hypocrisy. Do you see that? What's in it for me? Okay, I love you, but what's in it for me? There's always something in it, is there not? So for 2,000 years, even though the world says, oh, we're more civilized, there's been no change as far as this is concerned. The world still hates light. The world has always hated light. Why? Because the world testifies of it that the works of the world are evil. You know, that Mozilla president, I don't know if you kept up with the news this week, but the Mozilla president gave some money to the election in California in 08, promoting traditional marriage. So here he is, the promoted to the presidency of this web corporation, and somebody dug it up. Wonder why. But they revealed it, and the man quits. Oh, you can't think that way. You can't think that way. It's the same way that many thunk. It's the same way that 52% of Californians thought. And yet he loses his job because of that. But you see, the world hates light because it testifies of it. And that's why there's such a tremendous push to have you think differently. Not just to think the way you think, and he thinks the way he thinks, and all of us get along. That's not enough for the world. The world has to have you think differently. The world has to have you think in darkness. Jesus Christ is telling us from whom we will receive persecution and from whom he will not, when he says this, if they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. In other words, he's basically saying birds of a feather will flock together. Flock to believers. Flock to abiders. Be separated unto those that believe. He's telling us here, because they won't persecute you, they'll support you. But those without will persecute. Those who kept his sayings will keep the sayings of the true disciple of Christ also. Those who are of the world are no friend to grace. Wow, that message of grace, Pastor, is despised. If there is a heaven, I want to work my way there. I don't want to have allegiance to anybody. I want to work my way there. Don't come to me with your grace. But it's no friend of grace. So, we abide in Christ. We are to love one another. We are to find love in Christ and in the brethren. We are not to love the world. Be careful of your allegiance to the world. We are not to look to the world for love because the world hates every true disciple of Christ. You say, well, I don't find that to be true. Well, start abiding in Christ. Start speaking of Christ. Well, you'll be out of the door as fast as Mozilla. The world cannot love the true disciple of Christ because the true disciple of Christ testifies that the works of the world are evil. This is what abiders will do, for abiders will stand for Christ. Verse 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my namesake. Now remember that. Are you suffering for yourself? Now, some people like to suffer for themselves. It makes them feel good for some reason. But our mind is to be that we suffer for Christ. When we abide in Christ, exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, testify of Christ, we got to remember we're not there to represent ourselves. We're representing Christ. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Now, knowing God keeps one from persecuting the children of God. Not knowing God results in one persecuting the children of God. Black and white. Children of God do not persecute other children of God. But not knowing God is living in darkness, and in darkness is blindness. Those who bear the name of Christ are walking on account of Christ. We do not represent ourselves. We have taken the name of Christ, and therefore we represent Christ. When we walk in this world, we are to represent Christ. Those who abide in Christ express Christ. They carry the light of Christ, which the world hates because it brings reproach on the world. The light of Christ points out in complete clarity the sin of the world, the error of the world, the darkness of the world. So all these things will they do unto you, because you represent your Lord, you bear his name. You know, the name of Christ is, today it's so obvious that it's such a hated name. I mean, it's banned. It's banned in ending of prayers. You listen to the official prayers and you rarely hear the name of Christ. That prayer could have gone to Allah, for all I know. But Christ's name is hated. And if you bear the name of Christ, the consequences are that you will be hated also. Abide in Christ. Bear his fruit. Bear his name. Walk the world's way in his name and represent Christ. You know, Ephesians 6:12 said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Christ's enemies are to be our enemies. We're to wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Father, we are thankful for the message of the 15th chapter of John. We're thankful, Father, that you give us the truth. Lord, you don't sugarcoat what the Christian is. You don't sugarcoat like the world does and wants to make everything pleasant and nice and wonderful and positive, and it just doesn't tell the truth. It operates in fairyland. But you give us, Father, the reality of this world. For we know that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. But Lord, while we pass through, help us to pass through like Christ passed through, walking the roads of this world Christ-like, abiding in Christ, bearing the fruit of Christ. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.